Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Thanks, Eileen. It's John Cook here with you on Drive Time until 7 o'clock. 51551 if you have questions. Many of you getting in touch about news that 12 to 15-year-olds will be offered COVID vaccines as early as next week after the government accepted an advisory group recommendation to include all children in this age group. The consent of parents or guardians will be required. Now, this approach differs from that in the UK, where those under 18 are offered a vaccine only if they are medically vulnerable or live with another person who is. But what happens if a child has a different view from his or her parents? And what if two parents disagree? Well, we'll discuss those questions in a moment with medical law expert Simon Mills. But first, I'm joined by Dr. Anne Moore, Vaccine Development Specialist at UCC. And Anne, thanks very much for joining us on Drive Time this evening. We're told this group will be offered the vaccines as early as next week, the 12 to 15-year-olds. And I know a lot of parents, and indeed their teenagers, will want to know the specifics of this. So it's an mRNA vaccine and two doses of it, Moderna or Pfizer.
That's correct, yes. The NICE have made the announcement or informed, recommended that those mRNA vaccines up to 15-year-olds in Ireland.
Okay, so it will be Moderna or Pfizer, obviously two doses, 28 days apart. Are they safe for that age group?
The evidence that we have now says that they are safe, and that evidence comes from both clinical trials of about 2,000 adolescents, as well as their use quite extensively in the US in the last month or two. So we are aware of their safety. They're definitely immunogenic. There are at the moment reports of potential links of inflammation around the heart called myocarditis or pericarditis about 4 days, mostly in boys, predominantly after the second dose. So there is a small question that there's a rare side effect that can happen that has been very transient. But at the moment, the link has not been proven. But obviously, we do need to be cautious and follow that up as well.
It's an inflammation of the heart. Very rare, you said. Do we know how rare?
From early reports, it sounds like it's about, I think, 56 cases roughly per million cases. So of the population in Ireland, there'll be, of the 12 to 15-year-olds, there'll be maybe potentially a number of cases there. But again, from what we know at the moment, it seems to be very transient, but I'm sure the HSE will provide very good guidelines on what to look out for, and the evidence that it is a low risk, and from all the evidence so far, it is quite transient, but people should be aware of it.
Myocarditis, and is it a short-term inflammation? Is this a long-term problem, or do we know that?
We don't know that fully. I mean, the report so far are saying that it's, there's kind of shortness of breath and chest pain, and a very, very small number of adolescents have been treated for it, but reports have come in. With every vaccine that we've used to date, all diseases, we really doubt that there are any long-term effects, and we know that from other vaccines.
I was reading in the Irish Times at the weekend, the immunologist Paul Moyno was saying it wasn't clear to him whether the benefits for this age group outweighed the risk. What do you think?
It is a discussion that is being had. I mean, I guess from my perspective, the benefit to the child is for the present SARS-CoV-2 infection that we have. But also, I think the benefits outweigh the risks. I mean, we have of our 12 to 15-year-olds, very, very few of them having any immunity to this virus. They're susceptible to being infected, to having disease. Now, admittedly, it's mostly mild, but
right.
It can be worse than it's
And
small.
On that basis, parents might wonder, is this vaccine for my child's benefit or for the benefit of the greater good for the Irish population?
Definitely for the benefit of your child. Remember, your child may be a 15-year-old today, but they're going to be an adult, in a few years' time. And we believe that we should develop an immune response in our 12 to 15-year-olds so that they are that they have some level of protection against this coronavirus or other coronaviruses that will likely come down the road in the future. We do need to get our population immune to coronavirus.
While you said the COVID symptoms have been in for a majority of young people mild, we have spoken on the programme a lot about the long COVID risk for children as well. That is something to bear in mind.
Yes, and there are reports as well previously of this multi-system failure in children as well. And a very small number of children. But there are, you know, children do get COVID, a very small proportion compared to COVID disease compared to adults. But overall, you know, there's the disease, but there's also on their well-being, if they do contract, if they are infected with the virus and they need to come out of school and things like that, you know, there are mild as well as moderate consequences as well for being infected.
I'll come back to you in a moment, Dr. Anne Moore, but we are getting lots of questions. 51551 if you want to get in touch with us. But turning to the questions of consent around the vaccine here, because we were hearing earlier on, of course, that for 12 to 15-year-olds, it would appear their parents would have to register for the vaccine and accompany them for that vaccine as well. Simon Mills is a former doctor, now senior counsel, practising mainly in medical law. And Simon, thanks for joining me as well on the programme.
No problem.
What age do you have to be to consent to your own medical treatment?
In general, adults can consent to and refuse treatment, and adults are 18. There's a specific exception that's created for 16 and 17-year-olds, where 16 and 17-year-olds can consent to medical, surgical and dental treatment. But it's not clear, for example, that like adults, they can refuse medical, surgical or dental treatment. So 16 and 17-year-olds have a kind of qualified right to consent to medical treatment. Below that, children are not treated as competent to consent to medical treatment, save for a couple of academic discussions that have taken place in a few legal judgments.
So the 16 and 17-year-olds, for instance, we're hearing today, can register online for their vaccines and they're allowed to do that themselves, don't have to ask mum or dad or a guardian.
That's right. I mean, it seems as if the system is proceeding on the basis that when it says that 16 and 17-year-olds can consent to medical, surgical and dental treatment, that a vaccine, even though it's not actually treating a condition, it's to prevent a condition, is going to be regarded in a kind of general sense of medical treatment.
So what would happen, Simon, if somebody then in the 12 to 15 bracket, 15 years old, say, for instance, wants the vaccine, her parents or she doesn't want it. She's been reading whatever, she's heard whatever, and, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there. We do know this as well. But her parents want her to get it, she doesn't. What happens there?
There simply is no clear answer to that question. And there's no clear answer for a couple of reasons. The first is, for any case like that, it's always going to turn on the facts to some degree about exactly what the dispute is about. But if we assume that a vaccine that is being offered that is safe and parents wish their children to have it and the child does not wish to have it, then normally speaking, in the case of a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old, there's no real issue. The child, even if they don't want the vaccine, gets the vaccine. But of course, they're not able to reason or think through the arguments or to deploy the reasons why they say they don't want to have it. So the situation of the 15-year-old is much more complicated. The way the courts have generally resolved it is that certainly in the UK, there's been this thing acknowledged that's called Gillick competence. And it's the idea that an under 16-year-old, they're the same sort of law in the UK as we have here, but an under 16-year-old will have the right to consent to medical treatment if they are sufficiently mature to understand what's going on. But the same courts that have decided that that right exists have also said that those 15-year-olds and 40-year-olds won't have the same right to refuse treatment if the treatment that is being proposed is in their best interests. And in that scenario, their parents get to make the decision for them, or the court will make the decision for them, and that will make the treatment lawful. But whether over something like a vaccine, which is not essential to save anybody, the individual minor's life, whether over the issue of a vaccine, a court would make such an order, or a doctor would be happy to give the vaccine to a recalcitrant 15-year-old who had been dragged unwillingly to a vaccine centre and made it clear that they did not wish to have the vaccine without some clear legal authority allowing them to do so is not at all clear.
And I presume it works both ways, Simon, from what you're saying, if the child did want the vaccine or did not and they differed from their parents. But there's a suggestion this would end up in...
No, it doesn't necessarily work both ways.
Okay.
Because a court will more readily allow a minor to consent to treatment that is in their best interests than it will allow them to refuse a treatment that it thinks is in their best interests.
The suggestion is this would have to end up in court. How likely is that?
Well, the suggestion isn't necessarily that it will have to end up in court because, of course, families engage in disputes and disagreements all the time. And those disputes and disagreements don't necessarily end up in court. It is not impossible, I suppose, to imagine a scenario in which a minor does want the vaccine, in which the parents say no, and a health board seeks a declaration that it would be lawful to give that minor the vaccine. That's the scenario which might more likely arise. But certainly, I wouldn't go so far as to say it's likely to end up in court, but it is certainly possible that this sort of dispute might need a judge to resolve it.
What if the two parents don't agree on what's best for the 12 to 15-year-old here?
Well, this is something that has been considered by the courts, both in the context of medical treatment and in the context of vaccination. And what a court has said is that so long as the treatment that is being proposed is objectively in the child's best interests, then the consent of one parent will suffice to make that treatment lawful. So where the parents disagree, doctors will be entitled to proceed on the basis of the consent of the parent who is consenting.
Okay, lots of our listeners getting in touch on this one. 51551, I have a 13-year-old, a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old, John. They're thrilled to be getting vaccinated. They've been asking since January when they'll get them. They want to have a normal school year. Marion says, my 15-year-old daughter is afraid to take the vaccine as the trials done in her age group were so recent and she's nervous of what side effects might come down the line. And I'd have to say I agree with her decision, says Marion. Dr. Anne Moore, I might ask you to address that one. The trials being done on this age group are more recent. What do you say to that?
Well, they're as recent as the trials for adults and the rollout to adults. I mean, the trials have been rigorously reviewed by the EMA. All of the information has been with NIAC as well, who have balanced, the pros and cons of doing this. So every piece of evidence that can be examined has been examined to see whether it is safe to use in this age group. When it comes to concerns to whether it's safe or not, or what's the best evidence, I would really recommend that they look at the HSE immunisation guidelines and recommendations and information about it, or other reputable sources as well of that information. And then hopefully that will allay their concerns, and at least, at the very least, they're getting information that is reputable information. The worst thing that can happen is that they end up going down a rabbit hole on social media of scared of what these are not. With every medicine, there are going to be risks. And it is up to everybody to weigh up those risks and benefits and decide what is best for them. And if hopefully they will decide that it is best for them and that they will consent to be vaccinated.
A listener says, John, my 13-year-old will make up his own mind. It's his body. I will not be forcing him either way. And any parent who does should be ashamed of themselves. It's not my child's job to get a vaccine for the good of the nation. He's made enough sacrifices through this pandemic. Simon, it's this child's own body, and obviously good if you can agree with your teenagers and they'll work it out themselves here. But that's not the way it would be defined in law if the parent and child could not agree, you've been saying.
Well, no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that, and this goes back to my first answer to the very first questions, it will all depend on the facts of the case. And all I was saying earlier on, and possibly I wasn't clear because this is a very complicated area of law, it seems clear that it's not the situation that under 16s have no right at all. So as you get closer and closer towards being 16 and having the right to consent, it doesn't really intuitively make sense that it is only on the morning of your 16th birthday that you competent to make decisions about your own body. And the Irish courts have talked about the idea that as minors get older, they accrue greater and greater rights. What I was saying was that there may be situations in which an under 16-year-old wants to refuse a treatment, but the treatment that they are refusing is so obviously essential to their personal well-being that a court will direct that that treatment should be given to them. Similarly, there may be situations in which parents and children agree and which a court would have to resolve. What I'm certainly not saying is that a court is going to wire in and immediately direct the 13-year-old or a 14-year-old or a 15-year-old who does not want to have a vaccination should have a vaccination. And that's particularly true in circumstances where the state has not decided that anyone is obliged to have the vaccination. And why it would be one rule for adults and one and another rule for children is not at all clear.
Thank you, Simon. No, you have been very clear. It is a complex area, as you said, and perhaps I wasn't clear in my questioning, but thanks for helping us to get through it. Terence says, I have a 20-year-old girl who got vaccinated last week, also a 15-year-old who can't wait to get hers, both decided on their own. But I think if you're living in a pro-vaccine household, the children are halfway there anyway. Some say we shouldn't be using vaccines on children until all adults in poorer countries, for instance, have been offered one. And we're a long way from that situation currently. And what do you think of that?
Yes, I think just to go back to your previous statement on the 13-year-old, I mean, it is true that it is for the benefit of society, but that also provides benefit to that 13-year-old.
Okay.
That 13-year-old will then be protected against coronavirus. And it's a preventative measure that I'm sure that parent takes for other actions as well, like seatbelts and helmets and things like that.
Okay. And should we be vaccinating our children if more vulnerable groups in poorer countries haven't got them at all?
We have to do both. It really is incumbent on us as a country to put pressure on the EU and on the US and anywhere that a vaccine is being manufactured, as well as our own finances as well, to contribute to the COVAX facility, which is an international facility to distribute vaccines to low middle-income countries and countries where that vaccine is needed. It isn't an either-or. There is the global supply of vaccine is increasing, so it's not as constrained as it was at the start of the year. But we really seriously have to do both. We really have to implore countries to either buy vaccines and contribute them to COVAX, or put pressure on vaccine manufacturers who are the vaccine manufacturers who are charging high prices to lower those prices and make them available to income countries.
Thank you both for joining me this evening on Drive Time. Dr. Anne Moore, expert in vaccine development at UCC, and Dr. Simon Mills, barrister and author of Clinical Practice and the Law. And I'm getting a lot of specific questions around children and the vaccine, which we will try to come back to on the programme, if not today, in the coming days. We're awaiting further information from the HSE on how this will be rolled out next week for 12 to 15-year-olds, and indeed what the next steps are, or whether there are next steps for younger groups as well. The HSE told the programme they are working to operationalise this advice from the National Immunisation Advisory Committee. They didn't have a spokesperson available for us. NIAC wasn't available either, and the Minister for Health wasn't available to speak to us despite our requests here on Drive Time. We're heading to Washington next.